be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the festival of our Lord's resurrection. Graciously help us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the 5th chapter. When they had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that we might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 118 responsively. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. The Lord has punished me sorely, but he did not hand me over to death. This is the gate of the Lord. He who is righteous may enter.
I will give thanks to you, for you answered me, and I have come to salvation.
The same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
God is the Lord. He has shined upon us. From the protection and branches of the throne of the altar.
You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
The hand of the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Revelation, the 1st chapter. John, to the 7 churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before this throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week,
and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
When my husband and I moved into our new condo last August, there were many things that we had to just, you know, kind of take with the territory. For example, it's a gated community. I wasn't really thrilled about that, but we don't have to put up with the barrage of flyers that come with, you know, pizza delivery and chicken or Chinese takeout. So I guess that's all right. But there's one thing that really made me wonder about the people who had lived in this house before we moved in, and that's the locks on the door. It has a one of those security screen doors, the steel screen doors, with a deadbolt lock and a key lock in the doorknob. And then it has a double thick, I don't know if it's wooden or steel or whatever, but it's a big, heavy inside door with a deadbolt lock and a key in the door. So it's click, 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 click. I'm really locked in. Some people cope with their fears of the outside with lots of locks. That's how some people cope with their fears of the inside, too, with lots of locks, with locking up their heart. You know, there's something out there that makes people afraid. And if someone tries to get in without being invited, they hear that click of the lock on that person's heart. The spirit of our readings today begin way back in the book of Genesis. The story of creation with Adam and Eve is pictured in there in that book of Genesis as such a beautiful, close relationship, Adam and Eve with God, who had created all of the world and creates beautiful things as a gift to Adam and Eve. And the relationship is shown in a way that it says that they walked with him in the cool of the evening. What a good image of a close relationship. But when Adam and Eve forget that God had given all of this to them and that everything was a gift and that they were supposed to live in respect for the one who had given them everything, they became afraid. They hid from God. They didn't want to go on that walk with the Lord in the cool of the evening. They were confused, afraid, forgot who and whose they were. On the night of the resurrection, on that first Easter, the disciples were huddled together behind a locked door. What were they afraid of? I think it's more than that they were worried about the people who had killed Jesus, that they were going to come after them too. I think they were also afraid of what was on their own inside. I think their fears went deeper than the folks on the outside. I think they were hiding also from their inner thoughts and their fears. What had happened the previous few days had shown what failures they were. They were afraid of that truth, and they were ashamed. They had failed Jesus. If it was true what the women had told them, that Jesus was alive, that he was no longer dead, if Jesus was risen and that he was coming to see them, oh my gosh, what is he going to say? What's he going to say to them after they had fallen asleep in the garden, after they had run away when he was arrested, after they watched from a distance as he was beaten and humiliated, after they left him to die alone without their support, without their compassion? What was Jesus going to say to them? The preschool children have put in a garden. It's a little garden area over here by the gate. And they have a variety of vegetables growing. They're all excited about it. The other day as I walked by, they wanted to show me what was growing. Pastor Marone, come and look. Come and look. And they, of course, wanted to show me the exact carrot or piece of lettuce that they had planted. They're all about a quarter of an inch up. But they knew exactly which seed they had, each child had put in. So I was looking at the lettuce, and I'm feeling this very persistent tapping on my shoulder and an equally persistent voice saying, God, God, come and look at the carrots. God, God. And I realized I had just been promoted. No longer was I just Pastor Marone. Now I was God. I told my husband about it, and he said, yeah, she's 3 years old. Don't let it go to your head. But I know in truth that I would be much more like the cowering disciples than I would be like our Lord Jesus Christ in that gospel story. I would be more afraid of my failures than I would be forgiving and compassionate as Jesus. Like Adam and Eve, hiding from God in the garden, like the disciples, hiding in that upper room from their failures or the thoughts of their failures, we too hide. We hide when we're ashamed. We hide from our guilt. We keep our hearts locked up tight because we know the truth about ourselves. And the truth is that we're not all that we pretend to be, and that we're not all that we want to be. And we keep that hidden away. You ever listen to Garrison Keillor? He has a radio program called The Prairie Home Companion. And he has some wonderful stories and often very funny and poignant, too. Last night was their joke show. And I'll tell you some of those jokes, but they don't belong in a sermon, so some other time. One of the things that Garrison Keillor says is that we have a backstage view of our lives. The audience, the world, only gets to see what we have neatly arranged and put out for folks to see. But behind the curtain is the mess of our lives, the part that we want to keep hidden. Old hurts, failures, sin, guilt, the stuff that we're ashamed of, we keep that hidden away behind the curtain, only allowing others to see what we have neatly arranged and wants to be seen. Some contemporary critics say that America, or the world, has become a shameless society, that there is no shame, there is really no guilt left, there isn't any sin in the world that we admit. We can excuse everything away. Well, I don't think that's really true. I don't believe that it's that we don't have shame. I think that we have just become so good at hiding our shame and hiding our guilt that we don't allow it to be seen. When we face ourselves from both sides of our life, from our public on stage, public life, what we want people to see about us, and that part of our life that we keep hidden behind the curtain, we have a better view. We keep things hidden behind us. Click, click, click. We don't want anyone to know who we really are. We lock more doors and seal off more rooms in our hearts when we are trying to keep our true selves from being found out. We are trying to keep the world out. But what is true is that we are really keeping ourselves locked in. Whenever you lock the door, you lock something out, but you also lock something in. The wonderful good news of our gospel story today is that Jesus comes through that locked door into our hearts. Jesus comes looking for us. As we heard in this story from John's gospel, Jesus walks right through the locked door, right into the midst of the fear and the worry, the trembling, the shame, the guilt. He shows the wounds from the cross and proclaims peace. Peace be with you. Not once did he say it, but three times. Peace be with you. You are forgiven. Peace is restored to your troubled soul. You are free. You are free. Jesus didn't give the disciples an opportunity to speak their excuses. He didn't give them a chance to explain their fear or their failures. Oh, you know, I must have had too much Passover wine, Jesus. You know, I just, that night, that dinner, it was so good, but, you know, after we got to the garden, I just fell asleep. I'm really sorry. You know, Jesus, if you had just explained a little bit clearer what exactly you meant by the kingdom, I think I would have got it. I was expecting something a little different. It really isn't my fault. Lots of excuses. And I don't think that my getting arrested really would have helped much. You know, just one more person being arrested, I thought it was better if I had left before it got really serious. Jesus comes in and says peace and forgiveness before they even get their excuses out of their mouths, before they can even begin. This Jesus acts like that with us. Before we can even start making the excuses for the shame, the mess, the guilt, that is all hidden behind the curtains in our lives, Jesus says to us, peace, forgiveness. The word forgiveness in Greek can also be translated to unbind, to release, to set free. So the gospel story is really a freedom story. When Jesus spoke to people who had been excluded from society because of their sin, Jesus says to them, your sin is forgiven. Be restored. Find your place in community again. To the Pharisees, who were very good at keeping that stage set all neat and proper, but having a mess of their lives hidden away, Jesus says to them, repent. Don't hide. Come out from your shame. He tells them to stop covering up. And that's what Jesus says to us. Just stop hiding. Stop worrying about what's behind the curtain. Let it be seen. Bring it out into the light, because it is forgiven. After finding the disciples hiding in that room, hiding in that unforgiven state, Jesus forgives them. He restores the peace of their souls. He gave them the Holy Spirit and then gave them a ministry. He says, go. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Go, tell others about this forgiveness. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Jesus gives to the disciples and to us a share in his ministry of forgiveness. He sends us to announce forgiveness and peace. He sends us to be forgivers. What a ministry. What a gift. We have that gift to be forgivers. To forgive is to set free. To retain is to hold on. If we don't forgive those who have hurt us, if we don't forgive those who ask our forgiveness, then the only alternative is to retain the sin, to hold on to the hurt, to hold on to that shame, to lock it in. Click, click, we lock it in. Some insightful author wrote these words, when you forgive, you set a prisoner free, and then you discover that the prisoner was you. So you have a choice. You either share in Jesus' ministry of forgiveness and peacemaking and be the one who frees, or you refuse the gift and be bound and be locked up by your own unforgiveness. Those are your only two options. To set free or to keep bound. If there's someone who needs to hear the message of forgiveness, the word of forgiveness, if there is someone who needs your forgiveness, you can't just forget it or deny it. You can either forgive them or lock it in to your heart. You can't just keep it behind the curtain and say that you're going to deal with it later. To share in Jesus' ministry is for us to forgive others, to free them of their shame and their guilt, and thereby set yourself free. If you hold on to the hurt of that unforgiveness, it's like holding on to a disease. It just eats you up. It eats up your soul. You can't grow in a relationship with God or with anyone else when your soul is being eaten up by that unforgiveness that you have kept. It has to be set free. It has to be released. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy. Being a minister of forgiveness is a very difficult thing, especially difficult if you have been hurt greatly, if you have deep hurts. Some people wonder if they could ever possibly forgive. How can some hurts be forgiven when they are so deep? But the good news is that we're not on our own for this. You know, a three-year-old might think I'm God, but I know better. I know that in myself, by myself, I could never forgive. But I don't have to forgive. God has given me the gift, and you as well, to announce the forgiveness that God, through Jesus Christ on the cross, has already proclaimed, already produced. It's Jesus who forgives. We are the ones who announce that forgiveness. We tell of the forgiveness and the peace that Jesus has produced. The good news is that we're not on our own to do this. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to the disciples when he said, "You are to forgive others. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the ability, the strength to announce that forgiveness that Jesus gives. If you and I were sent to be that bringer of peace, that minister of forgiveness on our own, if we had to do that on our own, I'm afraid that, at least for me, it would be one more failure that I would have to hide behind the curtain. It would be one more thing that I just couldn't do. But thanks be to God, we don't have to do it alone. It's the Holy Spirit that has been given to us that we announce the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We announce that through the power of the Holy Spirit. We aren't called to produce forgiveness. We are called to announce the forgiveness that Jesus produced on the cross. We are called to open the locks, to throw open the door, to walk into the world as ministers of forgiveness, ministers of peace, who are unafraid because we believe that the Holy Spirit is in us, that Jesus Christ is with us. Thanks be to God that we are forgiven and that we can announce that good news to those who need to hear that word of forgiveness, who need to be invited to come out of their locked and closed doors, to unlock their heart to receive the blessing of forgiveness and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that we are not alone. Thanks be to God for the forgiveness that has been given to us. Amen.